Okay, it's on.
Yeah, they just got usually green going and stuff.
We've been teaching a little bit out of the Hebrew alphabet because of the year 2014. And in studying it, we found out that 2, 1, and 4 equals 7, which is the seventh Hebrew letter. And this is what it looks like when it's written. It's one of the smaller letters. This looks like the handle, and this looks like the sword. So it's the Hebrew word for sword, which I think is beautiful. So that means to me, this is the year of the sword. And if things have ever needed to be rightly divided, from government to everything, I mean, it is today. And people need to learn to divide equally, in a level, perfect way. And they need to learn to do it by the spirit of the matter. And most people cannot do that because they don't know what the spirit of the matter is. You do have to become familiar with spirit to divide by spirit. Otherwise, you use the sword of the soul, and that divides it to bless you the most every time. That's how you can tell it's called ego. So you have to be very careful in rightly dividing the word of truth and make sure that sword is two-edged, that it cuts as deep into you as it cuts into whomever you're using it on. Anyway, it's a paradox, this word. And I want us to remember that, because in the Hebrew teachings, the crown and the scepter, it also means, which speaks of authority. And John and I were talking about that this morning. Kids, this day and time, they're saying, you don't need to let them fail at anything. Well, you and I know this is not reality. We need to learn to fail so we know how to be successful. So it's okay. If you suffer with Christ, you reign with Him. So there's a suffering that goes with this. Otherwise, we'd just be little puppets and ego-driven. So it's learning how to be in authority. And I don't think they've quite got it right yet, because they say you should never use words like fail. Well, this is ridiculous. We use the word fails in our language. However, if you don't want to tell your kid he failed, I guess you could say, well, you're missing the mark, dude. That's the same thing, you know. So, I really like this, and I, of course, would prefer to deal with or teach this word, learning how to rule and reign, because every man has a crown. We're given one when we come here. It's ours. We don't know we have a crown, because we don't know who we are sometimes. But as we learn who we are, we know how to let that be our crown, and a scepter, a staff. And the staff is for poking yourself, dealing with your own self, not to poke somebody that's standing before you all the time, but dealing with who you are. The scripture says, my rod and my staff, they comfort me. And the staff has a crook. When the peppermint candy canes were fashioned, they did it after the staff in Scripture. I heard that during the holidays for the first time. I thought, gotcha. Beautiful way to get it in, to teach on the staff. The rod and staff, one is for poking, but the staff is for bringing something to you, attracting. So that's a beautiful thing. So it can mean peace or war, sword for war, and peace for dividing it correctly, being in charge of yourself no matter what others do, so to speak. It's also the number of take a break. Just take a break. I heard myself praying this morning, and when I was praying for Bev, sit along the bank for a minute. Give yourself a break. Then get back in the boat and go on your journey. Or just weigh anchor. Is that what they call it when you drop the anchor? Or are you pulling it up? Well, anyway, put your anchor out somewhere if you're tired. It's okay to rest. And it is also the word for Shekinah, which is divine feminine in you. They sing the song, Jesus was a soul man, and he absolutely was a soul man. Because he taught us how to live, breathe, and walk in humanity, how we could be. He suffered just like we do, the scripture says. And we must learn to stand on this holy, holy ground. And every man needs to keep their sword by their side. Not that you have to use it all the time, but keep it there. It'll save you a lot of pain. But I want to go a little further this morning. I've been reading a book that was written in the 18th century. It's called The Pistos Sophia. And I had to look some things up online, and it gave a definition of the book's name. I just sat there and wept. It means Jesus. Not just Christ, Jesus in particular, Pistos. And Sophia is that Shekinah, who is his divine feminine that he has married. He has a wife on the earth. That's why we're made. God wanted companionship. He wasn't stingy in the realms he was in. He could have stayed in glory and never have done anything. But he wanted to manifest mankind, a body of people to live in, and let them experience what he experienced in the heavens. Enjoying being, making all your choices for yourself. As many as you can make. Sometimes choices get made for us, and we get to flow with them, but that's the way it works. Anyway, there's a passage in there that I read recently, and it just took root in me. The inner Christ, Jesus, grasped the sword of cosmic justice. If we've ever needed to see justice, thank God in the cosmic realm, surely it's being done. It has to be done. But upon this earth and in our great United States, please, justice. Karen and I were together yesterday, and Johnny preached us a sermon, and I thought it was beautiful. He had his facts together. He wasn't ugly. He just divided it pretty good. Pretty good. And so, right in dividing something, getting your facts and putting the right love and emotion into it is so important. So important. So that brings us to Genesis 3:24. It's the first time the word sword is used. But this governs all of the scripture. It's so inwoven even to the revelation, every book of the Bible. How the sword was used. So we'll go back to that. First, let me read us what a paradox is. When I get a word that I'm not real sure of, I always go to the internet, usually to Wikipedia. I like Wikipedia best. Paradox, a contradiction of statement. So, if you're logical, you're going to be in trouble here. A contradiction of statement, but in appearance, it is truth with the ability, this is so good, to manifest in a transformational process. Wow. I thought, I like that. That transformational process. You can choose your own interpretation. And that's beautiful to me about the Hebrew. It just gives you so many ways to look at a word. It's so big that you can't possibly say it, teach it, understand it in through years. It would take years because the word, the very second word is Beth, which means house, which means the tabernacle that you live in, of your body. It just goes so far. I mean, it's beyond, there's no end. Anyway, so I know God created the Hebrew. You may choose your interpretation, remembering to strike a balance within your personal interpretation. Some are saying, never use a word with a sword in it. Well, how self-deluded can you be? Many people cannot divide for themselves. A child gets here, and it thinks everything it does is okay. It does know the word know, and a little bitty thing knows when he's done wrong. Because I raised kids, I know. A two-year-old, you see him, he's got crumbs stuck all over his face. Have you been in the cookies? No. So they know how to lie. They learn how to cover themselves. Did you do thus and so? And it's all, you already know the answer. Bruce used to say that we was following him because we would know what he had done, you know, because we was observing. And you're an adult. So we need someone to help us divide. So I invite my Messiah into everything that I'm trying to divide, especially if it has to do with anything weighty. How do you want me to react to this? Show me your feeling, your thought. Anyway. I don't want to read some of this. Just get beyond that. I forgot to say where we are in time. We're in the age of Aquarius. Until tomorrow, we're in the sign of Capricorn, constellation Capricorn, the goat. It's actually called the sea goat. Our moon right now, which governs emotions, even the scientists know this. They don't know how to connect it, and they don't blame God for it, of course. But it affects everybody's emotions that breathe. Every day, every 2.5 days, the moon changes, and so do your emotions, whether you're aware or not. Sometimes when things are going on, I go see where the moon is. I'm going, what is this new thing that I haven't experienced? Or like Beverly said, I'm shaky inside. What is this about? Well, we just moved into Virgo, and she analyzes everything. The Virgin does. She's analytical, the most analytical sign. And she's a detailer. She likes details. So this is where we are in time. And it changes every 2.5 days. Next, we go into Aquarius. So we're going to have fun next month. Because that is the most rebellious of the signs. But also, it is the sign of the fellow with the river of water that's always poured out for us to drink. And to me, that's beautiful. Boy, it's warm in here.
What?
I'm going to put the fan on. Yeah. I won't raise up any of them. I'm going to go to Genesis, the first time sword is used. 3 and 24, I believe. Y'all know the story well. I shouldn't have to read my study to you. I'm going to start with the 20th verse because it's where Adam names his wife. It goes off. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, which means Zoe life, any kind of life. From the lowest cell of an animal, a worm, or whatever, to the highest cells that live within us. So Zoe life is just life. It says because she was the mother of all living, which is a big statement, but anyway. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Remember, they were naked. But they didn't know they were naked. The scripture says the most naked thing in the garden was the serpent. So what they did was uncover their own ego. And that's good. We need a little ego to be human here. But it ought not to consume us. Our ego shouldn't always be on the throne. Not being able to be wrong or miss the mark, it's okay. It's okay to miss it. We've been taught it's not okay, but it is okay. Otherwise, we'd be dead right away. I don't believe in a Jehovah God that whacks us every time we do something. I don't believe he deals with us in that matter. He's kind of smiles. We keep going until we do that several times and find out that's just not working for me. So I feel that's how he deals. And the Lord God said, behold, man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. It wasn't that God didn't want us to eat of the tree of life, but he didn't want us to do it presumptuously, as you know, like Adam. I think they were in the garden and that woman kept hammering after him till she got him to eat, because the scripture said Adam was not deceived. He knew not to eat. The spirit in us knows not to do certain things. But our feminine, the negative part of the feminine, she's, that one's not divine. She's the great whore that sits on many waters and deceives many people. Anyway, that's what happens to us. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden. The original doesn't say what he does to. Let me go on. Of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. Well, over here earlier, it says there was not a man to till the ground. So I kind of feel like Rochus, man didn't fall. He was kind of pushed. Because God needed a man to till the ground. And that means you take the rotor tiller to you and plow up this ground and plant things. He wanted a garden inside of us. Absolutely. To till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24 says, and this is more real, he drove out man. The original says, I can't do this in the notes, I don't think. Let me find it. Sometimes I don't do things in order and it messes me up good. Yeah. He drove out the man. And the word drove means this. He thrust him out and he divorced him, big letters in your concordance, 1644, I remember it from study. He divorced them. He gave them a bill of divorcement right there. It says, just as a man divorces his wife. We've got a divorce, but he wants reconciliation. But that's a two-way street. I remember somebody telling me once that in order for this couple to stay married, one of her conditions was that they go to counseling. The husband counseled. When it came time for her, she fired the counselor. Have you ever heard of such? Because she didn't like what the counselor was doing. These counselors get inside of you, so to speak. And those that can do it by Holy Spirit, I'd be for that. But anyway, that's just showing you that that wasn't an even thing. She wanted him dealt with, but she refused to be dealt with. Give me a break. When there's an issue, there's an issue between me and him. I have to look at my side. And he has to look at his side. Or you would never reconcile. That's the way it works. Anyway, so God drove man out. And then, let's read this scripture because I just got past that. I want to deal with several words here, and that's why I wrote them down. And if I could forget one, y'all can tell me. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, plural, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I thought, my goodness. Placed. Let's see if I can find that. and it's a strong word. A lot of these are to the primitive root, which you mean it means that's as far as you can take it, how the word was derived. He placed at the gate of the garden, so to speak. It means to be firm, to sit in judgment. Why can't we get past ourselves sometime? Because we don't want to be judged. So we're stuck. There's judgment sitting there. To sit down as judgment in ambush. If you think you're going to get by with one little thing your way, not so. It's established in the quiet. I like that. To stand firm, to stand, to make a stand as a forever thing. So I said, okay, God, that seems rough to me, but I can handle it. So he drives man out, and then he fixes it so man cannot get back in there on his own. We sang that song this morning. It won't rain on your land if you don't keep the feast. And what that means is everybody had to go through the eastern gate. Everybody. And they had to keep the Passover. The folks that want to get rid of the blood scare me. The Passover lamb, we know who that is. He lives within us. And that blood, without the shedding of blood, without the suffering, there is no remission of sin. Like zero. So if you don't get a hold of the Christ Jesus in you, no matter what you do, it's out the window. Because it's his personality that counts within us. The Christ man. Not just Jesus the man, although I liked Jesus the man. I liked the things he did in his humanity. Don't make my house a house of the merchandise. And the woman at the well, you said right, because you ain't even married. First he told her where she wasn't. Then he told her where she could be. And he told her why she wasn't where she wanted to be. You said right, you've had five husbands and that one you're living with, you ain't even married to. Go and don't do it no more. Hello. So, I'm loving it. Anyway, the way in that everybody has to go is past the brazen altar, which speaks of Passover. The blood being applied gives you a go straight ahead, do not pass go, do not collect $200, go straight ahead. It is the way in to the holy place. That holy place is that soul realm. And then you have some things to do. You do it by the light of the Holy Spirit. The candlestick never was out inside, the light inside. Don't live by the light of the dang living sun out there. It revolves, yes, but it doesn't tell us the whole story. It's the light that lives within you. Do you die when it gets dark? Well, think about it. We have to live by the light of God that's in us. So it's a holy light. That beautiful thing. And eat the showbread. The priest ate the bread every week. 12 divine natures. Take a bite of the loaves. And that makes you part of the body of Christ. It will nourish you. If you just eat your own bread, You're gonna die stupid. It's ridiculous, people that want a hermit or just stay to themselves. If you do this, you have no fellowship to balance you anywhere. People invade sometimes, but invade me. I'll learn something. Okay, forgot where I'm at. Oh, yeah. Then your next step. You're in the light of the Spirit. You eat of the showbread, which means the bread of the faces, the identity. It's dealing with your identity all the time. And then there were prescribed amounts on the altar of atonement of perfume and holy anointing oil. And they had to be just right. And you take that into the holiest place of all, which is yours. It is a process. I don't think anybody just goes, I'm in the Holy of Holies. That is ridiculous. I can get there. Of course I can. We all have access to that. But there's a way to go. And if you go in any other way, you're a dead man. Once you open the door to your mercy seat and the cherubims that cover and all the gold and the divine nature, the sweetness of spirit is the only thing that will get you in there. The only thing. That sweet smelling savor. God says, yes, come on in my house. Come on, let's dine together. Let's eat together. Because you went the correct way. Jumping into it, I don't believe that. Because God was so careful to protect that beautiful garden that we all are. Okay. I'll get to teaching and forget where I'm at. Let me go back a minute and say something here. I think I said this last week, when I was studying the word sword, not one time in our Strong's did it refer to a crown and scepter, and that really disappointed me, because that leads you astray. You don't get to eat the transformational part and know that that's leading to a crown, that you're going somewhere on a journey. It always meant to kill, a missile of attack. We were talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about a Sagittarius, and they have a quiver on their back, but they're sitting on a beast. He's half man, half beast, a centaur. So that tells me the beast could be throwing these arrows. Or it might be your heavenly man, the part that's man. Anyway, when they do shoot an arrow, it's called a missile. Sometimes a missile can hit you and you don't know you've been hit till later. I'm going, oh, they were really out to get me, I think. You know, you just don't know what hits you. It's like a stun gun sometimes. Anyway, I'm trying to find the rest of my notes here. I love this word, cherubim. And it's really it's a big word, too. And it's in several places in the scripture, but the first time it's used is right here, protecting the tree of life. And cherubims This is so beautiful, and I've taught us this before. Comes from the hand to grasp. The cherubim's covering and protecting, it's in your hand, so to speak. You can reach in there and grasp it if you choose. You can get beyond your intellect, your personality, and know that it is the life of God in you, that part is divine. It's in your grasp. So cherubim means comes from the hand to grip, in the sense of keeping it safe. You know, I meet people, conversations and stuff, and I know way beyond what they're talking, but I don't want to kill them with what I have to say or act like I know something they don't know. Johnny and I were so blessed to meet Helen's friend, and he had been a pilot. And Karen, you know, she never asked a question. Questioned him and said, "Well, what was your rank?" And he said something like, "Well, that isn't important." He wouldn't answer her.
He said, "We don't want to go there."
Yeah, I appreciate that. He and Johnny had a beautiful conversation, and he was aware of where my husband was, and my husband was aware, without anybody talking about rank, they were talking about, they were two men on the same level. That's awesome. Because a lot of officers, they tell you in a heartbeat, that was blah, 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 blah. Not that he never did that. He kept it on a sweet level, and that's beautiful. That's a gift for people not get braggadocious, you know. So cherubim means you have it in your grasp, and you to keep safe. It's not something you flaunt. Just, you know, I'll use this same example while they were here. Helen kind of wanted to get into spiritual things, but this man wasn't comfortable, and I knew that. That's not how you do it. We have to be safe and comfortable. Make people safe. Don't act like you're God's dead and you're in charge, because people are turned off by that spirit. Anyway, that's what cherubim means. And they were placed at the tree of life. We see them again at the river Chebar. Ezekiel wrote chapters on them. So we've had that teaching. We know what a cherubim is and what it looks like. He said, I was seeing these living creatures. And we see them again in the Revelation, and he calls them four beasts. So you better know your word, and you better get beyond King James, or you are going to be fooled. But the rendering of it every time is this. It's in your hand, your grasp, for safekeeping. And they're also seen on the mercy seat. I forgot that in Exodus, talks about in there. And then in the Revelation. So they're seen lots of places. But if you study it, it's all the same thing. All. There's no difference. Except these cherubims graduate. If you want to study Isaiah 6, it will tell you they become seraphims, which is the burning one. There's a graduation. Well, there is a word in you that can slay the ugly things sometimes. Many years ago, this happened to me. And a few times, if I listen, I can hear the wisdom coming out of me, what God is saying. Daddy came to the house in the middle of the night, which was his habit. And John and Debbie had drove him. They were dating. They weren't married yet. Oh, he come in carrying on, pointing his finger at me and, "What's the matter with your dog?" Because Bodog went nuts, barking, you know. I said, "He's a Christian dog." That really set him off. So he was pointing his finger at me and saying, "You don't know everything," and all this stuff. And finally, I said, "No, you know, Daddy, no, I don't. I don't know tomorrow, but I do know the one that holds it." Did you know he shut up? He shut up. "You can close the lion's mouth." I wasn't angry. I was disappointed, you know. But I wasn't angry. Anyway. So the next word is flaming. Okay. Boy, I didn't like this word when I read it. Flaming means to be rabid, as one in a frenzy, magically or enchantingly or seemingly going mad. That sword is of that nature because it's flaming. He says that. So you, that means you're not going to get through that and eat the tree of life till you've been burnt. So we get burnt. After a while, you get tired of getting burnt. And you're going to say, "Hey, I think we've got a master swordsman up here. I don't believe I'm going to do this until I get it just right." So that's what it means. To be rabid, as one in a frenzy, magically, enchantingly, one seemingly gone mad. Okay, God, I get the picture. Okay, and it's the word sword, which I've already covered with you guys. It's always in the Strong's Concordance. It's always a negative word. Which really bothers me, because I don't think that's who, that just misleads us. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be red-faced, living in Adamic nature, rightly dividing the spirit of the word. Rightly dividing. Anyway, that brings us to the word turning. As if everything else is not enough to keep you away. It says, the word turning means passing through an intense but complete change of heart, emotion, the circumcision of all of your heart and mentalities. You know, that's covering a lot of ground. Mental things. Great day in the morning. So he wants that thought, you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That's how he acts like. So you don't have to ask people why they're being what they're being. Because it's what's going around in their stupid head. They don't know to be nothing else because they like being ignorant. If you don't, they don't want to be messed with. "I'm living my life, blah, blah, blah." But live your life until you're pushing up noses. Anyway, turning. I read that. Passing through an intense but complete circumcision of all your heart and mind. No way in without it getting deep down and personal. That's my issue with the churches. Come and make him Savior. And when you do that, make him your personal Savior. When you do that, they take issue with you. Savior is personal to you. Your uniqueness. God gives us that. Aren't you glad? We need a little diversion around here sometime. Somebody different. It's a master swordsman that would cut you in ribbons where you stand. So we must learn to wield. Wow, how do you say that word for sword when you're handling it?
Wield.
All right. The sword of the Spirit. Of course. I think that's all I'm going to share today. That pretty much covers a sword for now. But I do personally feel, this is my prediction for the year, we're going to see things on every level begin to get divided in a balanced manner more than we ever have. Because I feel like God, in his divinity, is going to bring some corrections wherever they're needed. In me, in you, in life. I pray for our country. This is where I live. I'm an American. I don't know how American I am, but I'm pretty American. I love the red, white, and blue. I love the military order. It's awesome because everything God did was in an order. Everything. When God's moving, it's not a quandary to me. He's straightening something out. He's giving his love in such an abundance to mankind. His breath. I mean, every breath we breathe is God's. That's awesome that he lets us have this to live in on this earth. And then to have a relationship with that being. He's not afar off where the word of faith is not anywhere in your mouth. It's a living word that you can help people with, help yourself with. It's wonderful. I want to share it. Thanks for listening.